welcome everyone to Back to the Monday Night War. I'm your hero, Kev Manning, along with Billy Body, who's actually calling from an air phone right now.
It's funny that they claim they had those on the
9/11.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they were, you know, calling left and right on their cell phones and no problem. Yeah. Okay. That's for another show. That'll be coming up. We'll have to do that every September.
Every September for the rest of our lives.
I'm down. I'm fine with it. I obsess over 9/11. I record everything on fucking that week on the channels. Let's start off. We start off with these great three clips all tied together here because they go one after another. And it's from Raw where Vince announces that there was a fight backstage between Shawn and Bret. And they hope, like, Shawn comes back to work. This is what causes him to fucking disappear and leave because of unsafe work environments. It follows up with Into the Ring interview with Austin. And Mankind shows up on the Titantron. And then Shamrock shows up. Followed by a Brian Pillman interview in the back.
Welcome, everyone, to Raw. Vince McMahon here along with Jim Ross. As we reported last week, there was an incident, a fight that broke out in the locker room last week, just prior to Raw, involving Shawn Michaels, involving Bret Hart. At that time, we thought Michaels would not return to action. At that time, we thought neither individual was hurt. However, neither one of those statements is truly accurate. Certainly not as far as the injuries are concerned. During that altercation, Shawn Michaels suffered an injury to his rehabilitated knee and a neck injury. We expect Shawn Michaels, what we understand, to be out 4 to 6 weeks. As far as Bret Hart is concerned, he sustained another injury to his surgically repaired knee. However, the good news is that Bret Hart will be back in just a few days.
Unprofessional conduct by both individuals, but unquestionably, from what we understand, Bret Hart clearly the aggressor. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, since it is an uncertainty as to when Michaels will return to action, what we've done is we're going to have ourselves a good old tag team tournament. Yes, as a matter of fact, the winner of the tag team tournament will face Stone Cold Steve Austin and a partner of his choice.
And we certainly hope that partner will be Shawn Michaels. Of course, a lot will be determined, easy for me to say, regarding Shawn Michaels' injury.
Yes, indeed. Nonetheless, we expect Shawn Michaels back. We certainly hope he will return within time. And Stone Cold Steve Austin is coming down here.
I think it's your turn to interview him.
He's pointing over this way.
I think he's talking about you, man. Stone Cold Steve Austin to be joining us at this time, but I guess when you can talk to the horse's head, it's a lot better than talking to the horse's rear end. So consequently, Vince McMahon has the pleasure, shall we say, of interviewing the man with the personality of a rattlesnake, the toughest SOB in the WWF, in my estimation.
Hold the damn thing up here. I'm sitting back here listening to you ramble on about a tournament for some contenders to face me and some partner. It's a bust. Shut up. Don't even think about saying nothing because you ain't got to say nothing. Bottom line is this, Vince. I don't give a damn if my partner Shawn Michaels. I really don't care. I really don't need nobody. Y'all the ones that stuck me with him to begin with.
Well, I understand that. Nonetheless, it's your choice to have a tag team.
Stone Cold, I'd like to speak to you. You see, last week on Raw is War, when you looked me in the eye and gave me the finger, I felt the bond between the two of us. So I'm saying, Stone Cold, let me be the man, because together the two of us will set the WWF tag team scene on fire.
I don't need no freak watching my back. You ain't got no ears. I never asked for Shawn Michaels' long hair out here shaking his ass, and I don't need you either.
Wait a second, Steve. You see, you're in luck because I already have long hair. I can wear one earring, and I can shake my ass. I've got a nice ass.
You got a nice big fat ass.
Okay, Hotshot. I can tell you've got a lot on your mind, so I'm gonna let you think about it. Have a nice day!
Turn him off. Get him off.
Well, notwithstanding the situation in the tag team tournament and you having a partner and whoever that's gonna be, let's talk about the match tonight. You right here, one-on-one with Brian Pillman. However, let's take everyone back, and that match should take place in a few minutes. Let's take everyone back to what happened last week. It was you walking down the aisle, readying for yourself for this matchup, and watch, attacked from behind by the entire Hart Foundation, and look, all over you, preventing you from entering the ring, preventing you from taking the match. Who comes to help you out? Mankind! Mankind comes in to help you out, and Mankind then goes to the ring and takes on Brian Pillman. From there, you come back to help out. Here comes Ken Shamrock, cleaning house. You, Shamrock, Mankind, and just how do you repay Ken Shamrock?
Well, that's how you pay you back. Come hell or high water, last week it didn't happen. Brian Pillman's gonna get his ass whipped. He's gonna get flushed down the commode to join all his little friends in the sewer system. Ain't no way, Brian Pillman, and I know you can see me back there, that your little raspy carcass...
Well, wait a minute. Let me remind you that the Hart Foundation are gonna be handcuffed around this ring. Now here comes Ken Shamrock.
I'll be damned if it ain't the world's most dangerous man. You got dumped right on your little foot last week, didn't you, boy?
Ken?
I didn't come down here to help your sorry ass out. I came down here because I don't like bullies. And to me, you're no different than the Hart Foundation. And I will not forget what you did to me on Monday night when you gave me the Stone Cold Stunner. And for that, you will pay. As a matter of fact, tonight, I challenge you to a match tonight. As a matter of fact, as a matter of fact, why don't we just do it right now?
Let me tell you something, tough guy. After I get through beating the hell out of Brian Pillman up and down this ring, you go rustle up your little lucky four-leaf clover, and I'll kick the hell out of you, and that's the bottom line.
My zone. Now it's time to knuckle up. I'll be here.
Win tonight, Mr. Pillman, because as we've just found out, indeed your Bret Hart family members are going to be handcuffed to the ring post.
Well, you're real funny, McMahon.
Well, they are. Handcuffed to the ring post.
You're real. Laugh. Right when the Hart Foundation severs the shackles of oppression and censorship and lets the world know what we really think. You've got the audacity to handcuff my comrades like common thieves. Well, you made one mistake. You didn't put the cuffs on the convicted felon, the one with the rap sheet. So Stone Cold's gonna pay. So Shamrock, you got nothing to worry about. You can stay being the world's most dangerous referee and working on that three count, son. Because Stone Cold is going
back. So there you have.
Thank you for joining us.
Those interviews. What do you think?
Well, I don't have much to say about the interviews, but I mean, this is now another incident with Shawn Michaels. So we rolled through 97, and obviously there's more to come. But so far, they've given him the title, and mm-hmm. He was sick. He was supposed to be he was sick at that Royal Rumble show, right? So then he ends up saying that he has an injury and ends up dropping that title and doesn't work WrestleMania when he hasn't really got an injury, and then he did that whole backflip and all of that. Then we have the incident where him and Bret go off the air because Bret's talking too long, and obviously Shawn Michaels is a part of that, but he doesn't necessarily take any responsibility for it. Then we have this backstage fight with Brett as well. And later on in the year, with all his stuff, we get the screw job as well. And he gets rewarded with the championship at the end of the year. Vince McMahon decides that he's the guy he's going to keep and he's going to get rid of Brett when it's constant problems. I guess Brett is involved in 60% of this stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. But that whole injury thing, that even though that does involve Brett as well, that was just a case of him just being like, I don't want to do this, quite clearly. And now we've got another problem where he has a fight. Just because he loses the fight doesn't mean that he has to walk out. And he walks out for a while as well.
Mm-hmm. It's gone for a while. But
every time he does this, it's not a case of, you know, you can't do this or you need to sort your shit out or we're going to stop paying you and there's any punishment for him. There's always like, what do you want, Sean? Like, what do you want to come back? Like, how can we make you happy?
They cater.
I don't understand how he worked himself into this position in 97. I guess it's just a case of, it's one of those cases where it could happen now in wrestling where, you know, everybody's getting these fat contracts where they're kind of saying, fuck me, we really, really can't afford to lose another guy to them. And that has to be all it is. And Michaels is playing that off big time.
Yeah, because doesn't he even say, give me my release, I miss my friends or some bullshit like that, where it's like, oh my God, that probably would have put a fucking knife in Vince. Meanwhile, you know, Vince catered to him so fucking much. If you think about it, it's really scumbaggy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I personally don't think that enough guys are playing the situation out now, but we'll see what happens with AEW and WWE. We could be doing another back to the something wars, you know, like, you know, 60s or something.
God help me. They have a tag team tournament because now the belts aren't like give it up because Austin has it, but he gets to have a partner. And now they're going to have a tournament to decide who is going to be the number one contender for Austin and a partner of his choosing. And I think this is just to give time for Sean to get back. The first tag tournament is the New Blackjacks against Owen and Bulldog. Owen and Bulldog win this. And then you have Undertaker and Paul Bearer in the back. When you have the Taker and Paul in the back, you have, of course, Paul Bearer always interrupts. And it's supposed to be, you know, Farouk and an unknown partner against Undertaker and Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, who's this unknown partner man going to be? And, you know, Paul Bearer just takes over the interview, which Paul Bearer has been pretty fucking funny. I've enjoyed him being a fucking dick. It's pretty fun. Triple H.
Do you think it makes Undertaker look bad? Like, if we were watching the, if we were like Marks back then, mm-hmm. and we had a podcast, that's what we're kind of trying to replicate here. We're trying to like cover it as if it happened like last Monday. But should we be complaining about, oh, look at the Undertaker's being booked. He's a champion, and he's like someone's bitch. Like, is that
I don't think so, because I think it's the reluctant, like, he doesn't want a secret to come out, so he's being blackmailed. It's just a matter of blackmail, and they're not hiding it, so it's like, you know, Ahmed Johnson yelling at him for it. And then you had the other week, Doc Hendricks sucking him off, going, we love you, Undertaker. Whatever it is, we'll understand.
I'll tell you what it is, though. If it's not making him look bad, it's a weird story for the WWF title, because normally that's like a case of once a babyface has it, it's like roll with it, hero. Go up against all your like all these big nemesis. If you look at like Brett was like more of an underdog guy. Actually, it's always kind of the underdog because Brett was fighting guys that weren't necessarily that big, but he was still the underdog. Whereas Hogan had to fight like massive giants, but still,
yeah.
If you look at like Hogan to Savage. And then I think the next one along was Brett. And Undertaker's having his run now. And he's not like those three. Maybe because he's so big. And he is one of those giants that turned babyface. Like, he would have been a stereotypical Hogan opponent. And so you have to think about something different to do. Which kind of comes off weird for a WWF title storyline. Because They never did this before. And then they get back on track with Austin being the good guy, and then he goes back and fights all these like villains and giants and things again when he gets the belt next year. So it's weird. It's a real like change in this in the way that a champion's book. They did something different here for this period.
Triple H versus Phineas, and Henry shows up afterwards, all pissed off, and like yells at Phineas for, like, you know, get your shit together, get your shit, get your head out of your ass. Which you go, okay. So they're leading into something with him. USWA match with it's USWA versus ECW, and it's going to be Sonny introducing this match, and it's Brian Christopher versus No Gimmicks Needed Chris Candido. King and RVD show up, and Dreamer and Paul are in the crowd. They get involved too. Ahmed, now it's funny because they always just have Sonny now doing that kind of shit because there's nothing for her to fucking do.
Yeah, I mean, she never did that much other than manage like tag teams, so
yeah. Ahmed Johnson talks in the back about the match coming up. And then you have Goldust versus Anvil. And they actually give Anvil a win here. Pillman versus Austin.
Dude, I don't even remember watching Anvil win a match.
Okay. Yeah, right? I guess he kind of had to give him something finally. Pillman versus Austin. We finally get this. Everyone is handcuffed to the ring posts. The ref gets stunned. And Owen picks his pocket for the key. All the hearts jump in the ring. It's a disqualification. Shamrock, Goldust, LOD show up. And Shamrock and Austin fight because they're fucking involved in shit. And then here is your clip of Goldust setting up the next pay-per-view, Canadian Stampede. And Goldust tries to get everyone together to accept this as their tag team, their best five.
Back to the corner by Hop. What's up?
Listen! We get it, we got you doing this. Come on, Stone.
Goldust trying to talk some shit.
This is exactly what they want you to do. You're falling right into their hands.
Our Heart Foundation hands, indeed. That's exactly
what's
happening.
This is not the time nor the place. What they've done is laid down a challenge to the five of the best that the World Wrestling Federation has to offer. Now I say, looking in this ring right now, that we are that five. And Heart Foundation, if you want us to come to Calgary, well, then we'll come to Calgary and we'll whoop your ass! Just like Stone Cold said so!
Well, I guess the, let's find out if Austin's gonna, what he's gonna...
My body feels like crap right now. I don't need you four guys, not for 1 minute. Gorilla Monsoon ain't gonna let me do it by myself. One time I'll step in the ring with your asses, but after it's over, we ain't gonna be hanging out together. We ain't gonna be drinking beer together. It's right back to this.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, in his own inimitable way, has consented. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Heart Foundation, gentlemen, what about it? You have your answer. You know who your five opponents are now, do you not, at the Canadian Stampede?
That's right. The mystery's over. We know what the five are, and we're going to treat them like the American scum that they are at the Calgary Stampede. We are going to destroy them because in Canada, we don't have discrimination. We will treat them just like the scum they are.
That's right. We don't discriminate. We're an equal opportunity destroyer. And the battle lines have been drawn in blood. My friends, so when you get across that border, get ready to step inside the dungeon, the combat zone, right into hell.
All right, thank you very much. Heart Foundation members.
After this, you get a Sable being a ring announcer because Wild Man's been hurt, so they have to have her on a shelf, too. And This is when they started their light heavyweight division. And it's Bobby Fulton versus Tommy Rogers. Who in the fuck are these guys? I find out, I look them up, and they're the Fantastics. They were a tag team.
All right, and they put them together against each other.
Yeah, and they just had them get, because it's like, all right, well, they'll have a good match, so put them together. Modern day, this is, and they say, like, how heavy they have to be, so it's 215 live.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
215, then. Yeah. Mero shows up afterwards and tells Sable to come to the back. This is starting that seed of him being a dick. Then you get the King and RVD versus the Headbangers. The Sandman shows up after this. The Headbangers win this because of interference. And then you have the Undertaker and Ahmed versus Farouk and a new member, Kama. That's who is who his partner is. And then Ahmed Johnson turns on the fucking Undertaker.
Well, you missed something there. Like I always remember. Like obviously you covered that. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. But you think it was weird that like fucking Kama Mustafa pins Undertaker?
Oh yeah,
just like a body slam or some slam or something, and then he just like pins him, and it's like
I think he power slammed him, didn't he? Like off the ropes, power slam.
It was something like that, but it was weird because he just pinned him, and it was like
clean.
That's how you're booking your champion. Like if you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
then it was weird that like Kama Mustafa. I mean, you see that and you think, oh my god, they're going to make like Kama an absolute like monster, like challenger for the title now after that. But they did nothing. Mm-hmm. They just beat Undertaker out like that, and I mean, you're supposed to remember Ahmed beating him afterwards, but it was weird. They didn't come up with a different finish. At least here, or a mistake between Ahmed and Undertaker, or something, if they're not doing anything with Kama, because this finish says to me that, you know, when Kama's going home, like, that evening, he's thinking, I'm going to be a fucking...
I'm getting the next main event.
Yeah, because, like, nobody pins Undertaker like that. In fact, this is the first time in history, you'll have to go back and you can have a look at anything that there is out there. Nobody beat The Undertaker like this ever. And I encourage people to go and watch it because it's almost confusing, like how that is The Undertaker that just got beaten without any interference or anything. It's a clean, I guess the only thing they could say is that, oh, he was double teamed for most of the match because mm-hmm. him and Ahmed didn't do anything. But it's weak if that's the excuse they're going to go with because he got beat here clean.
You know,
by someone they had no plans for.
I always looked at it as a kid watching where I looked at it too logically. Like, you got to suspend disbelief, of course. And it's Ahmed reaching for a tag the whole time, right? And Undertaker starts the fucking match and never gets a tag. So you go, what would have happened if he fucking tagged him? Would he have had to fucking beat up Farouk after all this and join him? Meanwhile, you know, it's just overthinking shit. But, it was a shock to have Ahmed turn, that's for sure. And I, you know what I did right after this? I went back and watched JBL's show where he sat down with Ron Simmons and talked about his career because I wanted to hear what they said about Ahmed because I remember they mentioned something. And he was saying how he tried to help Ahmed along and how, you know, he's like, you know, Vince really likes you. You know, you could fucking... get somewhere and all that kind of stuff. And then when they said for him to join the Nation, he goes, the first words out of Ahmed's mouth is, okay, I'm the leader then. And he's like, holy fuck, you got to walk before you can fucking run, you know? But Ahmed was just always a fucking dick, I guess. So that's your end of Raw. So let's get into Nitro. Limo arrives. They're live in Chicago. So this isn't a place that Rodman's going to get booed right after they won the championship, too.
But he doesn't.
No, not a place to get booed. Not at all.
Oh, you're being sarcastic. How dumb WCW was.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a place that they should have had him booked if they were going to. I mean, fuck, you're going to get the crowd. The fucking hero comes home.
This is the deafening show, isn't it? Like. I even sent you a video. You guys have videoed this once.
Yeah, this is a great crowd. It's
yeah.
I want you to listen to first clip. This is NWO talking in the ring. This is Rodman, Hogan, and Bischoff. And it's really interesting because when you hear the NWO music now when Hogan comes out, you could hear the Jimi Hendrix in the background. They have to hide it.
Oh, really? I've never heard it in the background. I mean, I knew that this was a dub over because I knew what he came home from. And then some of the time he comes out, he's playing a guitar.
If you listen to like the announcers, you could hear the Jimi Hendrix shit underneath it. It's very faint, but you could hear it through the background. Take a listen to this and listen to what Rodman calls Lex.
Nothing but love for you people. Board, man, it is too sweet to have you here. Two world champions right before our eyes. Oh my God! And now we're counting down to July 13th. Passion to Beast, the Giant, and Luger want a piece of this. You know, all my NWOites in Chi-Town, they feel the same way about the Giant and Luger as they do about Utah, brah. And you know, when you got Rod the Bod, the Dirty Dog Dennis Rodman, as your tag team partner, you are guaranteed victory. Four times world champion, six times rebounding champion. We called my mother a few minutes ago and told her we already beat him up, that we already won, because it's in the house, brah.
The Hogan lying to his mother.
You know, the outsiders got me on my toes. They told me to change with the times. They brought me up to speed. I love those guys. And my man, the six-pack, he can do it all night long. But they did it for us last night. And tonight, me and Rodman decided that we're going to flush that no-good stinky Giant out and Flexi Lexi. And if they got the guts to come out here, I'm going to let Rodman beat both of them up by himself right here tonight.
How about that?
I can't. That's a stupid statement.
How about that?
And you know what? The whole world knows that Dennis Rodman is a man of few words, don't we? But I know, Rod, you got something you want to say about Luger and the Giant.
Are we ready to rock tonight? I can't hear you. Are we ready to roll? Yeah. Yeah, my man Hollywood. Rod the Bot here. You know, we got Lex Luthor. We got the Giant in the back there, you know? You know, the Giant may be bigger than me. He may be bigger than me, but you know what they say, the old cliche? The bigger they are, that's right, baby. So, John Lex Luthor, where you at?
Hey, the way I feel, Rod, bring him out here at any time during Nitro, and I'll watch your back, and I want you to body slam that stinky Giant for me. Everybody knows, Bischoff, that I can destroy Luger now.
Like that. Like that. So, Luger Giant, they're ready for you. Come and get a little piece of this. Hit the music!
So the NWO
led by Eric Bischoff, the world champion, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and the man they're calling Hot Rod Rod the Bod, Dennis Rodman.
So, I always cringe when celebrities get involved because they don't know the people's fucking names, like Summerfest, shit like that. And
Coldstone.
Yeah, Cold Stone, and he couldn't fucking get his shit right. And the motherfucker was a fan, and he still called him Cold Stone. This one is Lex Luthor, and he calls him it multiple times, and I'm always staring at Hogan's face and Bischoff's face to see if they're kind of like, fuck, or if they try to correct them or something like that, but they do not. Glacier versus Mortis. What's his name, Billy?
Who?
Who versus Mortis?
Glacier.
Thank you. Wrath shows afterwards, and then Ernest Miller shows up too. And this was before Ernest Miller was fun. I hated him, when he was serious. When he was Call My Mama, I thought he was fucking fun. Then you have that's Brodus Clay, different one.
He was in WWE as well in 2003.
Yeah, for a hot second, but it wasn't as good. I mean, this is where he made his shit, being a dancer, put his shoes on and all that shit. Mean Gene talks with Medusa after she gives her, this is her farewell speech since she has to retire from losing the prior night.
We are back with more WCW Monday Nitro here in Chicago and all across America. Last night at the Great American Bash, this young lady whose career I have followed so very closely, her career has come to an end. You wanted a title shot. You put your career on the line. You lost last night in Moline. Medusa, has all of this sunk in yet?
I came out here to say something that last night was the end of my wrestling career. I am a woman of my word, and it was career versus title last night, and I ended my career. And Gene, I can't believe that I'm out here tonight.
Take it easy. This is something that's going
to
take some time.
To say that. I just want to say thanks that it's to every one of you out there that has made Medusa who she is today. And I just want to say thanks for all the support from all my fans, my family, and my friends. And I love what I do. And in my heart, I'll always be a wrestler. And Gene.
Saying her goodbyes tonight here in Chicago.
I just can't believe I'm in front of everybody saying that it's the end of my career. And I just wanted to say goodbye. And I love you all, man.
Thank you, Medusa.
So I wonder if, like, does she just need surgery? Is that the thing? Because she's not gone. I can't even tell you 100% that she comes back, but I think she does. I feel like she does.
Yeah, I think she does as well. I think she's in the company, like, even later on into the years.
Yeah, like to the end. So I guess she was just getting a surgery and needed to fucking leave or something. But like wrestling, they all come back. Malenko versus Chavo. Before the match, Dean calls out Eddie. And Eddie just watches the match. Now Eddie's going, Eddie's turning bad here. Super Callo versus La Parca. I know you care about this match greatly. Mean Gene with Lex Luger, not Luther, and the Giant.
Gentlemen, come on in. The Giant, Lex Luger. I'm certain you heard earlier on in this very television program the comments of the Worm, Dennis Rodman, and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. They say it's a no-go for the Bash at the Beach, July the 13th in Daytona. Lex Luger.
Well, let's get one thing established. We do have a contract to wrestle them at Bash at the Beach, correct?
You do indeed. I don't know if it's going to hold up, though. These guys say no go.
Well, I'm sure they'll honor it because, you know, they are. Was that really Dennis Rodman? He is just so cool. And was that really Hollywood Hogan live and in living color right here in this building?
I believe it was, Lex.
Wow. I mean, the Giant and I didn't ride here in a limo, and we didn't bring our shades, and I don't even smoke cigars. Those guys are so confident and so cool. They're world champions. We don't even have any titles. But you know what, Hollywood Hogan? You were so cool last week when I put you in the rack and you were staring at the lights on national TV and you said, I give, I give.
We heard him.
That's right.
And last week, the Giant was in Germany, but this week he's by my side, but they are so confident. I don't know, Giant, we're dressed and everything, but maybe we should just throw in a towel today and just head back to the hotel. What do you think?
Giant.
Rodman! Hogan! I've got the guts, and I've got the guns, and I've got the choke slam! Come and get it!
Ah! All right, apparently that is a challenge, Lex Luger.
I think what the Giant's trying to say in his own way is, yeah, there's Bastards, but if we're so easy, if we're such pushovers, why not right here tonight in Chicago? We'll answer the bell. How about you?
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? I can't believe it. The challenge has been made by the Giant and Lex Luger. They want Rodman and Hogan tonight.
French Canadians, the amazing French Canadians, who we haven't seen for a while. They're back on. Versus Harlem Heat. Harlem Heat wins this. And then you get, I'm going to play you two clips here, because the first one is going to be Gene with J.J. Dillon, and the Harlem Heat show up again. And then you're going to get a match between Mysterio and Six for the Cruiserweight title. Nash and Hall help and beat up Mysterio afterwards. And then you get Nash and Hall talking in the ring. Macho Man shows up and DDP shows up.
Very quickly, you heard the comments of Lex Luger and the Giant. They want Rodman and they want Hogan. They want him here tonight.
Well, it looks like Hogan and Rodman have issued a challenge. The challenge has been answered, and that's a real plum for Nitro.
All right, apparently there's some other business to be conducted at this time, and maybe you could address the concerns of the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry.
Well, as you know, Gene, a match was ordered at the Great American Bash between the Steiner Brothers and Harlem Heat to determine who should be next in line to deface the tag team champions who are currently the Outsiders, Hall and Nash.
Gentlemen, one at a time, please. A little respect.
Now, when the match was over, Harlem Heat were declared the victors by disqualification. But, Gene, if there was ever a tainted victory.
Oh, there was interference there.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking
about?
Wait
a minute. You said as long as we won. You didn't say how we won.
Let him finish.
It's very obvious to me that once again the NWO is attempting to manipulate the rankings, the standings, in order to handpick opponents. What other possible explanation could there be for Vincent coming down the ringside when the Steiners clearly had the upper hand, and as a result of his actions, the Steiners were penalized?
Gene Oakland, this is just another play of WCW in this crossover sucker right here. We know what's going on.
On his
we are the best.
Shut up and let him talk. Well, wait a minute. You might be in cahoots with this man, Vincent.
We're not in cahoots with anybody. If anybody knows us, they know we stand alone and we can beat anybody, just like we did them two punks last night.
Excuse me, Gene. In order to be fair to all parties involved, the executive committee has decided to order 1 week from tonight, right here on Nitro.
1 week from tonight?
Right. A rematch between the Steiner Brothers and Harlem Heat. And I guarantee you this time, Gene, we will not have a tainted victory.
Or outside interference. Hey, well, wait a minute.
What is the deal right here, JJ?
Wait a minute.
What you want, man?
Wait a second. Vincent from the NWO.
That was an early Christmas gift from the real bad boys, the Outsiders, and the NWO. You trying to say that the Outsiders might have had a better chance with us?
Yes.
The Steiners? I'm just saying you got the opportunity. Let me tell you something, man. We will beat the NWO. We already beat the Steiners. And guess what? We finna whoop you.
Oh, they suckered him in.
For crying out loud. So they got the microphone.
Yeah, brag about it.
Really easy picking on a little guy, I can tell you that.
Just like on the Discovery Channel, people. Survival of the fittest. He found out, like Piper and Flair found out, that the wolf pack, it's the strongest beast in the jungle, baby. Last night, we divided the herd, and hey, Piper, you might have put up a fight, but that just makes the kill that much sweeter. Death to an icon! Hey, yo. We've heard so much about Piper and Flair and how they're the icons. Well, last night, the Wolfpack beat them. So to those guys, I just want to say, whatever. But a special treat for everybody in Chicago is a real icon. He's the master of the madness. He's the one and only Macho Man, Randy Savage.
It's a wonder he can walk. You know, we talked a lot about last night, what occurred during that Savage Tech 2.
Yeah.
I mean, they went everywhere. There's a mark of the quad. In the lobby, they destroyed the VIP section. And as you said earlier, Mike, for Nick Patrick, really
come
maybe saving the career of Diamond Dallas Page, because he was going to pile-drive him on the concrete after he already wiped out, really, two referees, had nailed Nick Patrick later on in that program.
And madness
is right when you talk about the Macho Man. He is mad.
Well, that Page-Savage battle last night almost mirrored the entire Great American Bash, top to bottom. Brutal physical action, all concluding with that main event, Falls Count Anywhere War.
Well, remember this, gentlemen, they weren't going to pile drive him on that floor just one time. They were going to take turns with him. He'd look like applesauce when they were done with him.
And if you see the encore presentation tomorrow, you'll know Scott Hall had a hand in the victory.
You know, everybody knows that Chicago is NWO territory. And Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're NWO, you're NWO for life.
Last night, the madness rocked the place, did. I like to pay homage to the rest of the New World Order. The Wolf Pack is cool, brother. How about Hollywood Hulk Hogan and the Rodman right here in Chi-Town, the Windy City,
I'm digging it the most.
You like it, don't you?
Mach, if I could get a word with you.
Absolutely.
I had to leave the arena early last night. I didn't get to see what happened with you and Diamond Dallas Page, but I understand it was one of your most stellar performances.
It was sweet.
Too sweet.
Absolutely. Past, present, and future. Nobody better. I was on top of my game. Ooh, yeah.
This is an incredible show.
Hey!
And
Savage!
Where's that voice from?
I'm over here, you idiot!
That's DDP.
Hey!
Where is he?
Nice job last night.
He's up in the rafters.
Nice. You proved to everybody that you couldn't get the job done yourself.
No, you did the job.
You needed Hogan twice to take me out. And now you're tag teaming with Hall. Well, that's cool. That's real cool. Because nobody knows Scott Hall better than I do. So I got on the phone last night and I made a few calls to some key players and I found myself a tag team partner. And everybody here knows who he is. So if you got the Jack Savage and you two Hall, let's get it on at the Bash at the Beach. Bang! Bang!
He's got a partner, and he said everyone knows who it is. He's up in the rafters looking down at the ring.
Keep running your mouth, Paige. We'll send Rodman up there to take care of you.
All righty, they promote the fact, you know, of Rodman being there, of course. Dragon versus Chris Jericho. Sonny Ono offers Jericho cash before the match. And he pie faces him to the fucking ground. This is weird. It's like, why? What is this? And Jericho's, you know, Mr. Good Guy, of course. Piper talks now. Did Flair fuck Piper over last night at the pay-per-view? Flair shows up to talk about it.
Rowdy, Rowdy Piper, listen to this crowd here tonight in the Windy City. They very much aware of what took place last night at the Great American Bash. Between you and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, you're two of the greatest stars in this great sport, two of the greatest stars we've ever seen in wrestling, and I've got to believe there's some kind of a misunderstanding.
Well, I want to clear something up right away. Dennis Rodman, you cannot borrow my kilt tonight. I don't care. And neither can the ones that are booing. Now, in our fine sport, I've been around and I've been to the zoo a long time. And if shameful part ain't getting knocked down, the shameful part's not getting up. And I'm hearing all kinds of things about where was Flair. Halfway through the tag match, Flair decided to go out and get his hair done. That's what somebody told me. Personally, I don't believe it. Ric Flair has been one of my best friends for that many years.
That many.
That's a lot of years. And I don't believe the rumors are saying about Ric Flair leaving me to the wolves in the ring. And next time I'm left to the wolves, I'm going to make a pair of slippers out of them. So what I want to do is I want to hear it from the horse's mouth himself. If Flair duped me, I want Flair to tell me. So bring out Ric Flair.
How about that? Piper calling for the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, the 13-time former WCW heavyweight champion of the world, a man that is very popular here in Chicago. Listen to the reaction of this capacity crowd. Oh, my. He's in the house. Oh, I thought we were going to get a little river dance here tonight.
Hot Rod! Woo!
Gentlemen.
How are you, my friend? You won the match, didn't you? I tell you, Rickus, it was mighty lonesome out there. You know, I've been alone all my life, but you left me with a couple of Sasquatches. I come back in the dressing room, there ain't no Flair, there ain't no Flair bag, there ain't no Flair Liberace robe, there ain't no nothing. This is the first time I've seen you since last night. How you been, champ? Let me assure you of two things. First of all, you're my friend for life. I will never leave your side.
And when I cleared the curtain with six last night, I had the fight of my life going on. You are the icon. You're Roddy Piper. You're my man. And I'll stand by you forever, pal.
That's good enough for me. Clean up the rollers. Let's not let the tail wag the dog. I'll tag with you anytime.
Mean Gene. Downtown tonight.
Gibson's, I would assume. I think a misunderstanding has been cleared up here live on Nitro. Tony, back to you.
Well, thanks a lot. Apparently, you said.
We see where this is going with Flair and Piper eventually. We will get there eventually. Buff Bagwell and Norton, as you started hearing the shitty jobber NWO music before we cut it off. Buff Bagwell and Norton versus Jeff Jarrett and Mongo. Mongo says, fuck this noise, and Tombstones, Jeff Jarrett, which I was glad. I'm like, good, get out of here already.
Yeah, but that's another guy that got huge ovation.
Oh, yeah, fuck. That's why I'm like, it's his hometowns, baby. Baby. It ain't going to be fucking right. You know what?
He played for that crappy team.
Oh, fuck. How dare you? That's a fucking championship team he played on. And I'm getting a picture with Mongo giving the Four Horsemen symbol, by the way. That's my. That's what I plan on doing this weekend, or last weekend, as the show airs. Hogan, Rodman talk in the ring, and they call out the Giant and Lex Luger, or Luther, and then the all NWO show up and everybody fucking runs out.
What we all been waiting for? Just like my main man, Dirty Dog. Hot Rod Dennis Rodman jumped those dudes in Utah. We've been hanging out with the madness in the back room. And the Macho Man, ooh yeah, said go out and jump Flexi Lexi and that big stinky Giant. We heard him talking in the back. We heard them when their voice quivered and the Dirty Dog said it ain't nothing but talk because they can walk the walk. How bad do you want to beat them up, brah? I'm ready. Let's get it on, baby. Hollywood! Let's get it on, Hollywood! I'm ready, Hollywood!
He's ready! And so are we. Hogan
where
rips
you at?
Off the shirt.
Where you at? We'll stay out here all night long until you cowards come out here. Get out here and take the beating you're getting served. Get them out here.
Calling out Luger and the Giant fans. We're going to step out for a very short break. When we come
get
back,
out here.
Luger and the Giant and the main event. Okay, there you see Rodman and Hogan still in the ring here.
Hollywood, you know, we've been out here for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I still haven't seen the Giant. Flex, you know what? You know what? I'm wasting my time. I got somewhere to go tonight. You know, I don't want to be here all night. So let's get the hell out of here.
Wait, hold on a second. And where are Luger and the Giant?
You got me.
Hogan and Rodman now walking away from the ring.
And that is the end of Nitro and Raw for June 16th, 1997. Do you have anything that you want to add to this show that we have not gone over, or did we pretty much cover it?
I you know how we always say, like, Raw is the best show, and they can't understand how Nitro is winning. To me, I think Raw was ever so slightly the better show.
Yep.
But I have a complete understanding as to how Nitro won this week. It makes perfect sense.
It makes sense because Rodman was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. And it is interesting. Like, you get to that pay-per-view and stuff like that, which we have a lot to cover when we get there next month. That's it. Tune in next week, and you will hear Raw versus Nitro in Back to the Monday Night War. I'm Cav Manning. He's Billy Boddy. We're out of time.